Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette CD tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Many contractors have thought about selling their company, but most have no idea where to begin or even what the real process is. If that statement describes your thoughts, this is your lucky day. This month, Brandon Jacob is going to lay out the steps that are necessary if you are really serious about selling your company. Brandon has over 13 years of general business, business valuation, mergers and acquisition, and accounting experience. Prior to founding his business valuation and M&A practice, he was directly involved in the industry consolidation of the contracting trades, specifically air conditioning, heating, plumbing, drain cleaning, and electrical trades. Brandon's experience includes work with American Residential Services, ARS, as their market development analyst, and with Contractor First, which was an intermediary firm that was very successful in representing businesses to ARS, Blue Dot, Group Maintenance, Comfort Systems, Service Experts, Building One, and Integrated Electric. This month, Mr. Jacob will help us understand the overall scope of what is involved in the process of selling a company. Even if you're not ready to sell your company, I think you'll find the information on this tape of value to you. So sit back, relax, and listen up while you pick up a few pointers on preparing your company for its eventual purchase.
Welcome to Selling a Contracting Service Business. Regardless of what service your business provides, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, drain cleaning, or what have you, at some point in time, you may consider selling your business. For many, the sale of your business will be the most significant transaction made in your business career. Because of that, it is important to have an understanding of certain key steps required to profitably and effectively sell your business. During this lecture today, I will provide to you some valuable information that will be useful should you choose to sell your service business. Just as likely as selling your business, you may consider the possibility of buying a service business. Although the focus of today's topics will be on selling, a contractor considering buying a business will benefit from the information offered in this lecture as well. At some point in all life cycles of businesses, a sale will occur. The sale may be between family members as one retires and passes the business onto a younger generation, to a local competitor, or to a strategic buyer who may be from outside of your marketplace. Like a service call, the sale of a business has specific steps. The first step in selling your business is to define the reason for selling. Defining a reason for selling will cause you to do some soul searching. Having a clearly defined reason for selling will enable you to, 1, stay focused throughout the selling process, 2, help you to formulate sales expectations, and 3, prevent you from changing your mind midway through the process. Changing your mind midway through the selling process is not only costly in regards to the disruption of your business, but can lead to costly litigation between you and a now unhappy buyer. So, define a reason as to why you are selling, become personally comfortable with your decision, and begin moving forward. Reasons to sell include, but are certainly not limited to, 1, retirement, 2, a career change, 3, burnout, 4, failing health and other personal challenges, 5, divorce, 6, financial and or operating reasons, and 7, partnership or shareholder issues. These are some of the more common reasons business owners give when asked why they sold their businesses. Chances are, your reason will fall into one of the 7 categories just mentioned. Having defined your reason to sell you can then move forward into preparing for the transaction. But before we do that, it is important to understand a few key concepts on selling a business. I will dedicate the remainder of the lecture to these key concepts. Understand what the buyer wants. Understanding what a buyer will want from the acquisition of your business is important when setting your expectations and preparing the business for sale. Specifically speaking, in regards to plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and drain cleaning businesses, a buyer will mainly be interested in 1. The volume of calls generated through the existing telephone numbers and other goodwill. 2. The profitability of the company. Factors affecting the volume of calls include the age of the business, the name of the business reputation, yellow page placement, if a heating and air conditioning business, the number of service agreements, and most importantly, the customer database. All these items are referred to as either goodwill or intangible assets. Intangible assets, unlike tangible, cannot be picked up, touched, or felt. Tangible assets are assets that can be picked up, touched, felt, and include inventory, vehicles, furniture, and fixtures. Many sellers incorrectly believe that the value of a business lies within the tangible assets. This is a wrong assumption. If a buyer was interested in adding a few new vehicles and inventory to his existing business, he could accomplish this without acquiring your business. There is no question your vehicles and inventory have value, but they are certainly not the focal point of the worth of your business. Important: the greater the profitability of your business, the greater the value of the intangible assets, and therefore, the greater the value of the entire business. This is the single most important point I will make during this lecture today. So please let me repeat. The greater the profitability of your business, the greater the value of intangible assets, and therefore, the greater the value of the entire business. The second most important point is, if you are focused on growing the value of your business, focus on growing the profits. Do not be fooled into believing that a buyer with any level of sophistication will come along and buy your business based on the if-onlys. The if-onlys are the excuses owners sometimes present to buyers as an answer to why the business is not profitable, not growing, or any other undesirable condition that may plague a business. If only I had more techs. If only my market wasn't so competitive. If only, if only, if only. If you find yourself rehearsing these excuses in your mind, you have not come to grips with the expectations that you feel the sale of your company will bring. If you are a two-truck operation and have expectations to be paid as if you were a five-truck operation, you are not prepared to sell. Remember, a buyer, whether an employee, competitor, or strategic buyer, will have hopes and dreams that along with the purchase of your business will come the chance for growth. Growth is a product of hard work. It means long hours, setbacks, and disappointments. Who should be rewarded for that growth? You, the seller, or the new owner who achieves that growth? Other important factors to consider in determining if your business is ready to be sold include 1. The level of debt in the business. 2. The condition of the vehicles and equipment. Does your fleet resemble the aftermath of a demolition derby, or are your vehicles well kept, clean, and hopefully less than 5 years old? 3. Inventory. Is the inventory covered in dust and really junk sitting on the shelves, or is it sellable goods? In the case of inventory, less is sometimes more. A buyer should not or will not want to buy your obsolete inventory only to have to spend his time throwing it away. 4. Last but not least, does your business contain any unrelated or undesirable business segments? Just because you make a few extra dollars refurbishing window units, a buyer of your heating and air conditioning company may not find that segment valuable. All these factors come into play when you, the seller, set your sales price expectations. Regarding the valuation of your business, there are three methodologies to be used when valuing a privately held business. They are, 1, the market approach, 2, the asset approach, and 3, the income approach. Each of these three methodologies has a time and place to be used. I will briefly go over each. Market approach. The market approach is used when a history of comparable transactions are available to which the sale of your business can be compared. An example would be if 3 residential plumbing businesses of comparable size to yours in the nearby market sold recently for a certain price. Using the market approach, you would use the previous 3 sales as a benchmark for the value of your business. This approach is not the best approach in valuing small, privately held service businesses, as the public information regarding recent transactions is not readily available. During the late 1990s, when consolidators bought numerous plumbing and air conditioning businesses, the market approach was used to a degree. However, it is more likely that a professional valuing your business today would not use the market approach due to a lack of recent transactions that are publicly available. The asset approach. The asset approach is the next valuation methodology that I would like to discuss. Essentially, the asset approach is used to value a business that has demonstrated a historical track record of low or negative earnings. What the asset approach assumes is that the intangible assets of the business have little or no value because of the inability of these assets to help generate a profit. The philosophy of the asset approach is that the value of the business is in the operating fixed assets that are in place. This is not to be confused with the liquidating value of the business, as assets that are in place and operating have more value than assets of a business that are no longer used and are being sold as a liquidation sale. The asset approach is a valuation methodology that a seller should be aware of and hopefully not be using to value his business. What a seller hopes a buyer will use to value his business is the income approach. The income approach. The income approach is a valuation method that is used to value businesses that have historically demonstrated positive earnings. There are several different methods within the income approach that may be used. Today, I will discuss the discounted cash flow method. Note, it is important to clarify the difference between recasted or adjusted earnings and reported earnings. A seller will want to represent to the buyer and the professional that he has retained to assist in the selling of his business the adjusted financial earnings of the business. These figures will be adjusted for expenses that are either unnecessary or non-reoccurring. Because these add-backs, as they are referred to, are items used as a point of negotiation, it is recommended that a seller eliminate these unnecessary and non-reoccurring expenses if the sale of the business is effectively planned. Not all of these expenses can be eliminated. Those that are not are added back to the reported earnings of the business in order to calculate the actual earnings of the business. In applying the discounted cash flows calculations, a valuation expert, investment banker, or consultant will usually look at 3 to 5 years of historical financial figures. Using these actual financial results, go-forward projections will be made. Usually, these projections are the results of conversations with you, the seller, and conclusions based on the analysis of the historical earnings as well as the buyer's own level of operating confidence. The projections will be the basis as to how the valuation of your business is determined. It is highly unlikely that your consultant or buyer will accept that a business that has not grown in 5 years will triple in size the year after the sale. Projections must be realistic and achievable. The value of your business will be determined by discounting the projected future earnings stream to the present value. Another way of saying that is the buyer will pay you today for the present value of the future earnings of your business. To discount the projected future earnings, a discount rate is applied to the future earnings streams. The discount rate is subjective but is based on the rate of return a buyer can expect to recognize from taking into consideration his investment and the future earnings of the acquired business. Entire books are dedicated to the discount rates, and unfortunately, the topic goes beyond the scope of this lecture. Seeking the advice and expertise of a professional well-versed in the concept of valuation and discount rates is highly suggested. Regardless of the methodology, the terms that you, the seller, can agree to will also affect what a buyer can pay for your business. A buyer may want to pay you over a period of 1 or more years. Because of the concept of risk rewards, the higher the risk, the greater the expected reward should be. And the time value of money, a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. You should expect more the longer you must wait for payments. Additionally, it is important to keep in mind that the debt within the company will typically be retained by you, the seller, or, if taken by the buyer, with a reduction of the purchase price. This concept is no different than selling a home. The seller keeps only the equity that is in the home. There are many other factors, terms, and conditions that are to be considered in the sale of your service business. Some of these include 1. The selling of the stock or assets of the business. Certain tax consequences are contingent on this important determination. A seller will almost always choose to sell the stock of the business, and a buyer will almost always prefer to buy only the assets. 2. Whether or not the buyer will hire the seller on a full-time basis, consulting basis, or at all. It is suggested that a seller goes into negotiations with an open mind and a willingness to stay through the transition. Demonstrating anything less may cause the buyer concern. 3. Non-compete agreements. A buyer will ask that you enter into a non-compete agreement. Each state varies in the laws of enforceability. However, a rule of thumb is that the time frame and restrictive distances must be reasonable. In some states, a non-compete agreement is very difficult to enforce. And 4. Reps and warranties concerning customer warranties and the buyer's assumption of those potential liabilities. A buyer who is serious about buying your business will ask to see your historical financial statements, records, and possibly tax returns. The buyer or his representative will ask you many probing questions regarding your business. It is prudent that the seller asks the buyer to sign a confidentiality agreement before presenting any information for analysis. This confidentiality agreement will protect you from the misuse of your presented information. Be prepared to showcase the highlights of your business. Retain a professional who will ask you in advance the same questions the buyer will eventually ask you. Meeting face-to-face with a buyer for the first time is no time to realize that you have no idea if your business is incorporated as an S corporation, C corporation, or not incorporated at all. Demonstrating the lack of knowledge of important facts, such as the yearly volume, is equally as damaging. a smooth flow of information from seller to buyer will facilitate a quicker transaction. In many cases, this is important, as the longer it takes to present information, the more likely the buyer may develop cold feet, resulting in a lower level of desire to purchase your business. A demonstration by the seller of lack of relevant business knowledge automatically puts the seller in a weak negotiating position. With the requested information in hand, the buyer will formulate a purchase price and terms for the purchase of your business. Typically, the buyer will make an offer in the form of a letter of intent. A letter of intent is a legal document which highlights the offer, terms, and conditions for the purchase of your business. A letter of intent highlights 1. The purchase price, 2. The terms of payment, 3. The interest rate to be paid on the deferred payments, 4. The type of transaction, either an asset or stock purchase, 5. Non-competes, and 6. The liabilities to be assumed by the buyer. In addition, the letter of intent sometimes specifies the seller's post-acquisition terms of employment and lease terms if real estate is involved. Letters of intent are non-binding, and the seller is in no way obligated to sell, nor is the buyer obligated to buy, even after both parties have signed the document. Merely, it is an agreement for both parties to demonstrate their intentions to consummate the transaction. Letters of intents typically expire after a certain period of time should the transaction not be closed. During this period, which can vary from 1 to 6 months, the seller will be restricted from soliciting offers and shopping his deal to other buyers. Therefore, a seller should not sign a letter of intent unless there is true intention on selling for the price, terms, and conditions spelled out on the letter of intent. The letter of intent offer will be contingent on due diligence. Due diligence is what the seller will conduct to gain a better understanding of the business he is buying. Due diligence procedures varies according to different buyers, but typically they last several days, are expensive for the buyer, and disruptive to the seller and his operations. Hence the letter of intent. A buyer will not want to incur due diligence expenses unless the seller is intent on selling, and the seller will not want to incur the business disruptions unless the buyer is serious about completing the deal. It is not uncommon for changes in the purchase price, terms, and conditions based on the outcome of the due diligence. If the buyer and his representatives find unfavorable surprises during their due diligence, they will be quick to suggest a decrease in the purchase price. As a seller, do not count on the buyer suggesting to raise the purchase price based on favorable surprises. My point is, the buyer has more to gain during the due diligence process. However, how the seller ensures that the transaction is not jeopardized is by being completely honest and upfront when the seller originally presents information to the buyer. When due diligence procedures are final and all issues uncovered resolved, the transaction will be ready for closing. At closing, the buyer will present a closing or definitive document that has been carefully prepared by his lawyer. The closing document will go into additional details concerning the transaction. Before signing, it is highly suggested that the seller has his attorney review all closing documents. As mentioned in the beginning of the lecture, the sale of your business, whether you started it, bought it, or inherited it, will be a very important day in your business career. For many, it may be something you do one time in your life. It certainly is not something you want to venture into half-heartedly or without the proper knowledge and support. Entire books are written on each topic that I covered today. As an owner of a service business, your expertise is in motivating employees, understanding technical issues, keeping current with the industry, and maintaining positive relationships with customers. At the end of the day, you may not have the time or the resources to understand each topic to make the most out of the sale of your business. Seek the assistance from professionals, whether a consultant to assist in facilitating the transaction, a valuation expert to assist you in setting the proper selling expectations, a business broker to find the right buyer, or your attorney to review the legal documents. Understanding the steps in the acquisition process, carefully planning for a transition, and capitalizing on the available professional resources will ensure a successfully completed sale of your service business. Best of luck to your success in operating, growing, and one day selling your business.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Grandy & Associates on the World Wide Web. Our totally redesigned website now has a complete listing of all of the products and services Grandy & Associates has to offer. Our address is www.grandyassociates.com, and it is also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grandyassociates.com. One last comment. Grandy Associates' Basic Business Bootcamp continues to impact contracting businesses across the country. Over the past 17 months, contractors from 28 different states have attended the program. Now for the good news. With the development cost covered, the price of the bootcamp has now been dropped from $2,500 to $1,425 in order to place the program within the grasp of every contractor in the country that is serious about profitable growth. If you're not generating the profit you deserve, I would suggest you seriously consider attending the 3-day bootcamp to learn all the basics of how to run a profitable business. To sign up for one of the monthly programs, simply give us a call at 1-800-432-7963. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.